These scriptures this morning were sort of about misunderstandings. Have you ever had a funny misunderstanding? Some of them can be funny, others are not funny at all, but every once in a while, some funny ones will come up. I had one just a few days ago. Before Sherry clocked in to work on Thursday, she signed us up for flu shots. And she was going to get hers when she started work, and I was going after I left here. So when I got there, I walked in, and the first thing I saw was a very angry woman. It was not my wife. It was a customer who, you know, it just did not take much to figure out that she was not a happy camper. Well, of course, I found my wife, and I was talking to her in the general area that woman also happened to be in. Eventually, once I had greeted my wife, I went over to the pharmacy for my shot. And as I walked away, I heard somebody say, "Excuse me, sir." And, like, if somebody had said that here, maybe it would have. But I just kept on walking. What could possibly be needed of me in this place? So I kept on walking. And as I did, I heard again, "Excuse me, sir, I'd like to talk to a manager." And that kind of made me stop for a second. And I turned around and I saw Sherry saying, "Oh no, he's not a manager, that's my husband." And we all kind of had a laugh about that, and I think that woman needed to laugh at that moment. So she said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I saw him all dressed up and I thought that was your boss talking to you." Another similar story comes from a Target store. One Halloween, somebody went into a Target store wearing a red shirt and khaki pants. They gave him a name tag and started training him. He did not fill out an application. He just went to Target in a red shirt and khaki pants. Misunderstandings happen in the Bible too. And misunderstandings happen around the Bible a lot. I once asked a group in my old church what the first commandment was. And one clever guy put a smile on his face that made me know that I was in trouble. And I knew from his smile, I could see in his eyes, he knew what I meant. But he did not answer the question I asked. He said, "The first commandment in the Bible was when Eve told Adam he better eat this apple." So those were some fun and somewhat humorous examples of some misunderstandings, but sadly, some much more serious misunderstandings happen, especially surrounding the faith as well. Surrounding the text that Penny read for you this morning, Timothy also wrote this. Paul also wrote this to Timothy. It is a warning to avoid misunderstandings and to avoid misinterpretations and to avoid false teachings. Paul wrote, "As for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believe, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient and equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or not. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience in teaching. For the time is surely coming when people will know sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires. Paul's lesson in these words and those read by Penny are to preach the right message. However, to preach the right message, you have to know what the right message is. So how do we do that? Paul was sort of acting like a prophet here. He could see the days coming when the stories of Jesus would be stretched to fit somebody's own agenda. When the words of the scriptures would be twisted to fit an argument just so that one could win that argument. Paul knew these things were coming. And to be clear, this morning when we say the stories of Jesus, we are particular about saying the stories of Jesus instead of scripture, because when Paul was writing, these were not scriptures. They wouldn't be canonized scriptures for another couple hundred years. When Paul is writing this to Timothy, there's all kinds of information out there. Some of it's great and some of it is not good. How would one discern the difference between the true word of God and a false teaching? And that was really, really important for the early church to figure out. They did not have a Bible yet. The only scriptures they had were the Hebrew scriptures. There was nothing from Jesus on that was official Christian material with a rubber stamp on it that said approved. You had to be able to discern for yourself what's right and what's wrong, what's truth and what's fiction. The church was blossoming, spreading quickly, exploding all over the ancient world, which was a great thing for the early church, but it meant it was really hard to control. It was really hard to figure out what should our message be as we go to these countries we've never been to before, preaching to people who've never heard this before. Eventually, the church would say, we need scripture. We need a book that says this is what we believe. If it's not in here, it's not scripture. Well, they hadn't even come yet to an agreement on what their message was, other than the fact that Jesus was born and entered into a life of ministry by being baptized at the age of 30, and for the next few years gathered a large crowd and 12 disciples and performed miracles and preached, eventually died on the cross for everybody's sins and rose from the dead and then ascended into heaven. They agreed on that. But there's a lot more than just that that's in the New Testament. So they agreed on the core truth. But what about all the writings of the apostles? What about all of Paul's letters? What about the Gospels? Which ones were true and which ones weren't? At the time, there was no concrete answer to that. So, like I said, in a few hundred years, the church would say, we need a common message. This is where the creeds come in. This is where making actual canonized scriptures come in. We need consistency, and we need to organize a book of scriptures that a Christian can pick up and know that this is the truth. So a Roman man named Jerome in 382 AD finally put a book together, a book we now call the Holy Bible. We have the advantage of living in a time far removed from the days when there was all that kind of information out there, but nothing in particular that was rubber stamped as approved. We live in a time when we have this book to turn to whenever we have to. A book of undisputed divine truth, complete with the approved gospels, the approved stories, the approved epistles, and the approved prophecies of the Christian church. Paul was truly a prophet in those days, seeing a community and a world that was going in dangerous directions and prophesying where that could lead the world and the church if something weren't done about it. He was able to see into the future and to tell Timothy to be careful of those who will preach false truths, those who will stretch and twist God's word to benefit themselves, and those who will decide to only listen to preachers that make them feel good, preaching messages that they already 100% agreed with. The problem is, where is the growth in that? If you only listen to the people you are telling you things you already believed, other than looking for confirmation that you were right all along, like you always knew you were, but where's the growth? The gift of charisma is a good gift, especially useful in preaching. A great message without the gift of charisma is very hard to transform people's lives with. But on the other hand, how easy is it? And how many times have we seen charisma used to manipulate people? And a very charismatic person could convince people of almost anything, even if they didn't believe it themselves. Our application for this week is this, and it's similar to Paul's message to Timothy. Beware of false prophets. Beware of false teachings, and avoid listening only to things that you already believed in. It doesn't mean you're going to change your beliefs, but it's going to open your eyes to the idea that other things exist, and that they are just as grounded in Scripture, perhaps, as you are. Pastors like myself can lose sleep over the fear of having one of our sermons misinterpreted, or misheard, or misunderstood, and causing someone to leave the church because of something that we didn't even really say. But should we be so concerned about every single word? Well, I will always worry because that's what I do best. I worry. But should I? Or is it through some difficult messages, even the ones that weren't misunderstood and misheard, the ones that actually were the way that they were intended to be received? Sometimes a message will stir you up a little bit, and sometimes that's exactly what God wanted to do that morning. Should we be afraid of all of us? As I told the kids, we're all preachers. Should we all be afraid of preaching those messages that are going to stir people up, but messages that were needed to be heard? Or is it through those most difficult messages that God's transformation happens the best? Paul encourages us to stay, to learn, and especially to do our own research. Don't let other people determine what you believe. In school terms, Paul wants us to do our own homework, to do our own research, to come to our own conclusions, conclusions based on Scripture and nothing else. For application beyond the Bible, where does this come into play in society? Well, where does it not, right? It's late October. We have elections coming up in this country. Many know where to go if all they want to hear is their side of a political argument. But Paul would tell us to do our own research on candidates and not let people on TV or online or in newspapers determine our beliefs just because they fall in line with a political argument. When buying a house or a car, surely you don't only listen to the salesman, right? You do your research. You know what your car should cost. You know what your house should cost. Don't let the salesperson tell you what it should cost. They've got other motives. So the same is true in every other area of life. Do your research. Know your stuff. Don't get taken advantage of if it's just more charismatic than you. We should do our own research. Of course, the same is true for the Bible. Don't just take someone's word for it, not even mine. Do your own research. Open up the Bible and read it. Compare translations, compare different scriptures. Look for the truth. I have a feeling that while you're looking for the truth, you'll find God along the way. Amen.